Join with me now, if you will, friends, in our first lesson today, Exodus 15, the first 18 verses. This is immediately following the crossing of the what we have called the Red Sea. Actually, was the Reed Sea. There's a little error in history and translation, apparently. The sea was really not red, but it did have reeds in it, I guess. So after the crossing of the sea, Moses, in this great explosion of joy, gives this song. Then Moses and the Israelites sang the song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His picked officers were sunk in the Red Sea, and the floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew your adversaries. You sent out your fury. It consumed them like stubble. In the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The flood stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them up. In your steadfast love, you led the people whom you redeemed. You guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples heard, they trembled. Pangs seized the inhabitants of Philistia, and the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. Trembling seized the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan melted away. Terror and dread fell upon them. By the might of your arm they became still as a stone, until your people, O Lord, passed by. Until the people whom you acquired passed by. You brought them in and planted them on the mountain of your own possession, the place, O Lord, that you made your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord, my friends.
Thank you.
For our New Testament lesson, friends, our second lesson, we're turning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. This is Mary's song when she found out she was going to be the mother of Jesus. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor upon the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." For most of this year so far, I've been relying on what's called the Common Lectionary for my texts that I use in preaching. There are many preachers out there who do this because it takes at least some of the guesswork out of what you're going to use for your Bible lessons each week. I can only do it for so long, though, before I have to break out and do my own thing. So I'm embarking on a couple of series for the summer. We begin today an exploration of types of prayer. Next month, we'll be considering each line of the most famous prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Last week, we specifically sought the Holy Spirit's presence in our midst. It was Pentecost, after all. And at the heart of how I experience the Spirit of God is the gift of prayer. Growing up in a pretty straight-laced Presbyterian family, I pretty much only learned one way to pray. It was uniform. It was set. I never really entertained prayer as actively and worshipfully different in other traditions, even in other churches of the same denomination. Maybe you know Presbyterians who speak in tongues. I do. Maybe someone here holds that spiritual gift close to their hearts. Chris? That's all fine, though. Once I began to experience acts of faith and worship in different traditions, different places, with different people, my eyes were open. Just kind of like Paul after that road to Damascus experience. Oh, I'll never forget the first time I was sitting in chapel in my first worship service in the hospital in India, where I was serving as a chaplain for a month back in 1999. I was in my second year of seminary, okay? I was 27. For the first time in my whole life, I heard sisters and brothers of faith praying directly to Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about written prayer, but the moment, in that moment, lovingly and praying right to Jesus. My prayer had always been directed to God. Then, the cracks of my spiritual dam began to burst, and I understood prayer on a whole nother level than I ever did before. And yes, I was in seminary, studying and practicing to be a minister of word and sacrament, and still learning a lot to appreciate prayer. No one is an expert in prayer. We all have room to grow in this love language of God. I don't care if you're 2 or 102. There's no way you can know it all in the world of prayer. But certainly, there are people who seem to be a little more practiced and comfortable in prayer time. People who seem to be gifted by the Spirit in prayer. We all do it differently. There is no one size fits all. But there are certain threads that tend to be true across all prayer that I want to find in the weeks ahead. And we begin with praise. Why on earth are any of us here? There are literally 234,786 other things that we could be doing right now. But we are here doing this one shared activity that so many other people see no value in sharing. Now, first, I have to thank you, because whether you are giving your time here in person or at home online, you are not here because of me or any preacher, no matter what our egos might want to believe. Goodness sake, I know you are much more interested in the glory of the invisible God than in anything our little brains or little hands may concoct. We are here first and foremost for the praise and worship of God, our Creator and Redeemer. We are here to rejoice in the presence and grace of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Messiah. We are here to be embraced by the goodness and faithfulness of God's own Spirit of holiness and power. And we are not the first people who figured this out. I love the two passages that I read today that we're using to illustrate what prayer of praise to God might sound like. We have two faith leaders, Moses, the deliverer of God's people from Egypt, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. They have just both had significant experiences of the divine presence. Moses just walked through the sea, that sea of reeds, with the people of God. Mary was just visited by the angel Gabriel and told she was going to bear the Son of God, the Messiah. Now, both of those passages are considered songs. And Mary's words have even been transformed into song, which you have heard if you've ever heard the Magnificat. There is no difference between a song of praise and a prayer of praise if you want to get down to it. Of course, a prayer of praise does not have to be vocalized, but spoken or silent or sung, prayer is prayer. You're expressing your heart for God's greatness and faithfulness. You're worshiping the wonder and majesty of the God who spins the heavens and yet is still aware of every tiniest particle. You're giving regard to the same God who made each and every one of us in God's very own image, who calls us all by name, who loves us in spite of all of our failings and limitations. The very humanity that God gave us with all of its frailty is the very same humanity that Jesus assumed for us. That same God in Christ committed his life into our hands, even to death, just to show us the power of love. What's not to praise about that? And yet, even though there's so much goodness and greatness to recognize in the face of God that we can see all around us if we have eyes and hearts to see, we are far too often ignorant of the glory that is right in front of us. It's so easy to forget or to get distracted or to be overwhelmed or to be any of the other 10,000 things that can pull our hearts away from God's grace. Even in the Bible, we don't have that many kinds of prayers recorded. Thankfully, the book of Psalms is full of not only this kind of prayer, but every kind. Our call to worship today, Psalm 150, is one of those, one of those famous psalms of praise. But prayer and psalm run the entire gamut of emotion. Humans are complex, of course, right? We know this. We get confused and uncertain and all over the place. And so it should not surprise us that our prayer can be just like us. The real question, though, is not how you can fit into some cookie-cutter kind of person who prays. I am not interested in telling you the three steps to prayer or how you need to copy so-and-so. The question is, when was the last time you gave your heart to Jesus in prayer? I think people genuinely sometimes aren't sure how to pray. And they think that there must be some kind of formula, like the Lord's Prayer, that they have to check this box and that box, and they have to say things in certain ways and use certain language for it to be legitimate and acceptable. I completely understand why people might be nervous about praying in front of others. I understand it, even though I might think that anybody should be able to do it. What I do not understand is how people feel they struggle to pray. And since it seems daunting, they don't even bother. Friends, we are all doing something beautiful here. And all we are doing is giving God expressed love and wonder. We're honestly naming whatever it is that moves us and calls our hearts and minds. We're just opening ourselves to the greatness of the one who made us and all of this world in goodness. God is great all the time. All the time, God is great. Even when we are not. Especially when we are not. God is still great. This is glory to God. Pray with me. Most holy, wonderful, and gracious God, you've given us this day to praise you and to rejoice in your goodness. We would not have life without your breath, a world without your creation, any goodness without your grace. You have provided every thread of beauty in the glory that enfolds us in your love this day. Thank you for the good that brings us here. You have remembered us even when we forget ourselves. You shine through our human attempts at beholding your radiance through our song, our service, our fellowship, and our giving. You show us how special we are to you. Nothing in all creation can separate us from your love for us in Christ Jesus. You are truly great and greatly to be praised. Raise our hearts to you. Lift our spirits in yours. In your holy name we pray. Amen. What's one thing that truly amazes you about God? What is one thing that just makes you reel and wonder? What is one thing that stands out to you as too incredible but yet true? That's your prayer. That's your praise. You're there. Just tell God how awesome our God truly is, and congratulations. You're all naturals. Prayer is our life, friends, our breath, friends, and our heart, friends.
Thank you for praying with me today. To the glory of God. Amen.